I'm joined in the studio by Wellington punk band No Sector. Hello, team.
Hi.
Kia ora.
How are we doing?
Hungover.
Yeah, a little bad. Get in there.
So you played Dankfest last night.
Yes.
How was that?
It was awesome. It was really cool to play at the Crown because my parents used to go there when they were my age, and I've always wanted to play there, and the crowd was awesome.
Fantastic. Iconic venue. And you're playing again tonight?
This afternoon. Like 6:30, last band at the Rangatahi Rumble at Yours.
Sure. Have you been into Yours yet?
I gave it a look yesterday.
Yeah,
we bought some bread.
That's a fantastic venue. Yeah. They're cool people. And you brought some bread from Yours. Yeah. They're big on their bread. Massive on their bread at Yours. Cool. Dankfest, how'd you get involved? Who sorts that out? Who set that up?
So that's like Jürgen Lana run it for the most part. I think there's a few others, Gabe and stuff like that. But we were at Neil Roberts last year in Whanganui, and Jürgen Lana were there, and Leo was like, yo, we should go play Dunedin. And I was like, well, we should just hit these people up and see if they see if they're doing Dankfest or anything. And one thing led to another, and that's it.
Cool. How many bands on the bill for Dankfest this year?
I think it's like 15 total.
15.
We're doing obviously two sets. There's a couple of bands, I think, playing one of the evening shows at the Crown and then playing at Yours today. I think, yeah, so six bands a night at the Crown and five today, something like that. Yeah, so 15 maybe total.
Fantastic. Awesome. So what's the genre sort of span at Dankfest? Is it all punk hardcore, or is it like just heavier stuff in general?
Mostly not punk hardcore, actually. It's like, I think it's all like vaguely rock.
Sure.
There was some grunge, there was like pop punk, I think even like shoegaze, there was like a shoegaze band.
Shoegazy band.
Instrumental kind of thing. Some pop punk, Blink-182 covers, Green Day.
There were Blink-182 covers?
Yeah, it was a good mix,
I play in Maced as well, we're pretty like noise grindcore, and we went straight on after the band playing Blink-182 covers, so it was like maybe quite jarring for some people.
That's like the classic Warped Tour combo, I guess.
They never had full grind bands on the Warped
Tour. No, awesome. But you guys are a punk hardcore. What would you define yourself as genre-wise?
We're just kind of saying no modifier punk.
Sure.
It's got a bunch of like hardcore sort of influences, or it's the harder end of the punk spectrum, but like we're not explicitly crust or DB.
We're not trying to like break any boundaries or, you know, do anything particularly original, you know?
We just do
what we know.
Too oi for D-beat and too D-beat for oi.
Yeah.
That's how I'd describe it.
Still songs in there. It's just like presented
somewhere,
pretty aggressively, you know?
There's a tune in there somewhere.
So like specific inspirations? Is there any that you share like collectively?
It's mostly just like 80s hardcore punk. Mostly like British and Scandinavian stuff like Discharge and Totalitar. And maybe some more of like American hardcore. It's just like, it's a pretty narrow band. And also try and get inspiration from random stuff off the radio. And if there's some classic rock intro that I can rip off and change a note and chuck in, or some old like,
Lady Kravitz.
or like some old fucking kids like TV show intro. Like I've ripped off a couple of them. And that's musically, that's about.
I did not know that. For me personally, I would say a lot of my lyrical content is inspired by the Suicidal Supermarket Trolleys, in the sense that like it's all about quite specific things, and most of it is political, but then some of it is a bit silly.
Sure.
I'd say like my vocal style is probably influenced most by Labend and Toten. I kind of try to like cram as much syllables into a verse as possible. I've never really been good at just going like da 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 da. I find it easy to just be like da 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 da. Yeah, so that's inspired by Labend and Toten mostly, I would say.
They're a German hardcore band, aren't they?
No, they're from the States, actually.
Are they from the States?
Disappointingly. Okay. It's like a noise
stolen valor of the German band.
And they sound Japanese, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. What about further afield? Like, what's the furthest thing from the style of music you play that you guys can agree on and enjoy together, like, in the band?
We've been flying. We haven't really done the. We haven't really had to have any hard choices.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you had to share?
Well, you guys would share Blondie for sure.
Yeah,
right?
Blondie.
Hardly pushing Blondie the boundaries of punk.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure, really. I don't think we've ever like opened up to each other and shared, shared our deepest, darkest musical taste.
Yeah, Oasis. That's because you guys are all fucking millennials. Yeah, I don't listen to Oasis.
Me and Matt are massive Oasis fans, unapologetically.
Straight up.
Yeah. You happy about the reunion?
I've seen some videos, and to be honest, it doesn't look that great. But our mate bootlegged some tour shirts, so I'm not saying who it is. I'm saying we've got bootleg Oasis the Live 25 shirts. And it seems they're not even coming to New Zealand.
Is there any Oasis in the music ever? Have you ripped off a chord sequence from?
Fuck, that's a good idea. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Yeah.
We'll just go straight to the source and do a Beatles.
Some open chords, eh? Yeah. No, on it. Awesome. There'll be a change in musical direction from now on.
Look out for our next EP. What's the story? Oi, oi.
So, as well as the band, you guys are on Razored Raw. Or you've released your most recent EP on Razored Raw, and you run the label as well.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Yeah. What's the workload like? What's the sort of juggling of those roles?
I'm a bit of a workaholic, so I do a lot of stuff related to the label. So I mean, it's just a kind of name that I put under, putting on shows, putting out releases, recording, running a distro, you know, bringing tapes and records, and I just put it all under the name and. Yeah, I just keep real busy with it. You know, I like doing that. I'm always working on something. Yeah.
And that's... Are they Wellington bands, mostly, that you're working with?
Yeah. In the past, I've tried to make it as much as possible, like getting people in to do recordings so that things are, like, documented. Lately, it's just been more things that I'm involved with and me doing, like, extra little solo projects and that kind of thing as well, just to kind of keep myself busy.
Yeah. The distro stuff, have you found, like, is that working? Like in New Zealand, is it easy to get stuff, you know, printed?
First? Yeah, so it's more like I just hook up with other labels overseas and bring in little packages of tapes and that kind of thing and just sell them on. It's not crazy volumes or anything, but it's like, it all works pretty well. I mean, obviously, like the price of international shipping is the big barrier at the moment. Yeah. You know, I always used to be able to sell tapes for like $10, and now they're kind of a lot of the time it's $15.
Sure.
Shipping's the biggest spike there. It's pretty crazy. But it works, you know. I just try and bring stuff in that I like for the most part, and that I think like people should listen to.
Yep.
Was worth listening to, and then you know, generally things sell. You know, bought a little box of tapes last night, and somebody bought like 8 tapes in one go. So
awesome.
I hope they're having fun today. You know,
yeah.
Hope they have a tape.
You see those on Trade Me in 10 years.
I got told there was a guy who was buying them previously off me and then flipping them for.
It's depressing.
Yeah.
Small scale scalping.
You enjoy that $5 extra you made, eh?
Would you have any advice to people? Because I know we've got a couple of DIY labels in Dunedin that are just sort of starting up. Would there be anything that you'd tell them to avoid, tell them to focus on? What's worked best?
I think the main thing that whenever I try to give anyone any advice on anything, try to just make it the same as the way I do things, and it's just like do things sustainably for what you can do.
Sure.
But like try not to flake out, I guess. So figure out what you can realistically, like what can you do in terms of output, what do you want to do in terms of, like, I don't know, whether it's putting on shows or like what do you actively want to be involved with doing and contributing to the scene and giving back on, and you know, just find a way to do that in a way that doesn't like burn you out or anything.
Sure. Because you said as well before the interview, you're in another band that's playing.
Yep.
That were played last night.
Yep.
Playing again today.
Nah. Okay. We just played the one set last night.
But that is two bands. The label that is a workload for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of happy playing two sets on drums in one night. Kind of it's a bit of a stretch, but you know, I don't mind. It's cool. We get to bring another bunch of mates along, and we're all mates anyway, so it kind of brings a bigger like touring party along. And
wouldn't be the first time you've done that anyway.
Nah. Well, I had to do an extra duty at our EP release show. I was already playing in two bands, and one of the other bands, someone got COVID and pulled out, so I ended up having to play three sets at that show. So it was a bit of a slog, but you know, it's doable.
Yeah. Do you find that something that happens to drummers?
Oh, yeah. Specifically. Yeah. You kind of end up being in demand a little bit.
Yeah. I'm trying to learn drums. I'm trying to, like, lessen his workload.
Yeah. I'll hop back on the guitar.
I picked up a drum kit from the dump the other week and chucked it in the shed. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Going well?
Yeah, all right. I can just play D beat and that's about it. I can go...
That's all you need for something.
All you need, but Matt does a lot for the scene in Wellington, eh? Yeah. Not a lot would happen without him.
Shout out. Yeah. The label, Raise It Raw, the band, how did the names for everything come about? Are they just name generator kind of hardcore names? Or
hell
is there like specific influences behind them?
For Raise It Raw, I'd say it's like, I was like the kind of, you see the razor blades pop up in like old school first wave punk is kind of like a, you know, association. And I just want everything to be kind of like raw sounding and immediate and lo-fi. So kind of, you know, razor blades to the ears or something like that.
Absolutely. And the band name?
No Sector. I think, I came up with that after juggling a bunch of less good name ideas. I think originally we were trying to come up with a name that had the initials NZ.
Sure.
And we had like Nihilist Zealot, No Zealand, Bad Behaviour. That was another one I came up with.
I'm
that
glad
one.
We did.
Yeah, this didn't get
this
past the first, like, this is like instant no.
To me. Yeah.
The shit Reggies?
The shit Reggies. Yeah. Dude, fuck it. I think, like, well, because I was just thinking along the lines of, like, I wanted something quite institutional sounding, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like, I was kind of thinking, like, oh, what about private sector or public sector? And it was like, wait, what about no sector? What if neither of those things existed?
I kind of like that it sounds like a sort of first wave American hardcore band. There's heaps of
something.
The phrase doesn't really make sense, but it just sounds like kind of negative.
No effects.
What about favorite band names then? All-timers? What
are Suicidal the Supermarket Trolleys.
It's hard to beat, eh?
Yeah. Caught my ear the first time.
Case closed.
Yeah.
Oasis.
Disorder.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. All the good band names are taken, you know, like 30, 40 years ago, all the cool punky words, and now we're just kind of cutting and pasting them together, eh?
Sure.
Yeah. You can't do much original anymore.
Especially just like ripping off like Discharge or like Skit Slickers or something. It'll be just like this guy.
Yeah.
Skit.
You're hearing the sound of the bottom of a barrel being scraped.
Skit. Walking chair. I don't
not
know.
Even gonna tell us. Not even gonna tell us personally. Yeah.
Stop making up band names.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it there actually. Yeah.
I was gonna ask because I think it says on the description for the EP something about like not reinventing the wheel or something along those lines for punk music.
I think that might have been what. Yeah. It was in the bio.
Yeah. Do you think it's important in punk music to try to do something new, or do you think just what works and the energy and like the live shows is the most important thing?
I think it is important to try and be original, but I don't know. In my opinion, for this, it's just kind of more just having fun, you know, and just like trying to be like our influences and just play cool music with your friends. Not particularly fussed on being original in this part.
Yeah, all like alternative music cultures are kind of inward looking now because the internet's like segregated everyone away from each other. So like everything's kind of inward facing. So no one's like, I think I notice it in punk especially these days. A lot of modern punk and hardcore, it's certainly not reinventing stuff. It's a lot of reinterpretations or like, you know, trying to take a set of influences and mash it into something new and maybe make something new that way, but not through like. Bringing in new elements that don't need to be there. There's a lot of like, I heard a good analogy for it, and I kind of cleave to this. I think like a lot of these forms of music are a little bit more like a craft now. It's like building a nice chair or something like that, you know. You can't go too far outside the box, just figure out what you need to do well and do it properly, you know.
It's got like four legs, it's got
it's
like the 12 bar blues or whatever, you know. You just got that, you know, you've got this box that you've got to work inside of, you know. You can go a little bit outside of it, but
and if you're gonna go outside of it, go do free
works.
Jazz.
We know what sounds good by now, you know. There's only so many notes on a, you know, on a guitar and what have you. So yeah.
Yeah, I had written down as my next question: how many chords are required for a song?
Minimum one, surely.
Minimum one, yeah.
Yeah, you can get away with one, eh? None. Yeah, sure. I can just go to the bar for a song. And just drum solo, does that count? I can work that into the set.
It's not happening.
Were there any bands that you played with last night that you were seeing for the first time that you thought were particularly standout? Or
was that the Scab or something?
Strap.
Yep. They were really good.
Yeah, they were cool.
I was super fond of them. They played just before us, and I was kind of like, oh, fuck, we've got to outdo that.
Yeah, they're pretty aggressive, eh?
Yeah, they were full on. I'd never even heard of them before, so that was cool. Honestly, most of the bands on the bill I had never heard of in my life. Because I guess just like this is our first time.
Yeah, there was a Festering Death that played after us. It was our mate Gaz, who from Wellington, always from here. We used to live in Wellington. They were pretty cool. Gnarly death metal stuff. Yeah, that was good.
And what about the audience? What were the crowd like? What was the venue like for the gig? Good like setup, good atmosphere, everything like that.
I think so. It felt pretty packed in, right? Like everyone was having a good time, and it got pretty rowdy for us, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, after our set, actually, the MC said, "I saw some very good mosh pit etiquette and some very bad mosh pit etiquette." And I think there was kind of just like a few sort of big blokes kind of beating each other up, and everyone else was kind of just like, "Oh shit, I don't want to get punched in the face."
Sure.
Like,
sure. I think there were some people that were into the harder stuff last night, and some people not so much. And so yeah, it was a little bit of a mixed bag. But the people that were into it were getting up the front and going hard, which is cool.
Yeah,
I think the room's like too small for people to stand back too much or anything.
Yeah,
right?
So you don't have to really like open up a pit in the crown room, because then it would be the whole room.
You just end up like falling over the bar.
awesome. Was there any bands from Wellington that you guys would like to shout out, or like, is the punk scene up there thriving? Is the hardcore scene up there thriving? Heavy music scene?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, certainly the like 04 hardcore scene, it's a little adjacent to like what we do, but I mean they're putting on a lot of all ages shows and going for it. And we're kind of back to like, we had a real terrible year last year with like, there was very little punk shows, very little bands, and kind of lots of things have come back on this year. So I mean, I'm promoting a show on the 27th of September. I got Radium coming up from Christchurch. Four Starvation are playing from Wellington. Stress Ghetto, their show first playing for a while. So that's a couple of good heavy hitting bands from Wellington. I'm playing that with Maced as well, and Eurydice are playing as well, which is Zoe, who plays in Maced. They're sort of doing like emo crust kind of stuff. They're a new band, so like there's heaps of cool new bands popping up, and some of the bands sort of come and go a little bit, but they're kind of going at the moment, so it's nice. Yeah,
awesome. I would say the Wellington like punk scene especially is like small but active, and I think especially within like the last year or two, like as I've kind of gotten a little bit older, I've kind of realized like I kind of just noticed a lot of sort of like younger like 18-year-olds kind of just joining the scene, which is really cool. Just like I'll turn up to a show and there'll be just someone with a pair of crust pants on. I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like, that's crazy. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's cool to see. I think like I kind of always figured that I was sort of like the last generation to well, you know, I guess that is my generation, but you know, I thought it was like I was kind of on the last wave of before punk just died, but I guess that's never really the case.
Do you think the current political landscape has anything to do with it?
Well, it's funny you say that, because in my opinion, no sector is definitely a product of life under the Luxon government.
Sure.
If you read the lyrics for most of our songs, they're about policies that either directly affected me or directly affected someone I know. I don't know. I've always kind of thought like the worse your government is, like the bigger the punk scene. But I don't think that's entirely true. I think that's probably mainly true for like, I don't know, Western democracies or whatever. But yeah.
On that happy Christopher Luxon note, we'll end with the question we always end with. What did you have for breakfast this morning? What was tour breakfast this morning for all of you?
I had like 4 coffees. The last one was a bit Irish, so thanks you. Whiskey Caroline. And a cookie from that Cookie Time shop, which is decent.
What, the review of the Cookie Time shop?
7 out of 10.
Sure.
A little overpriced, undersized, but yeah, I'm happy I tried it.
Awesome.
No regrets.
I had frozen dumplings that I steamed. I had 16 of them with soy sauce.
Damn.
That's my favorite breakfast that we have had on the show so far because it's singular.
Yeah, it was really good.
Stocked up on that bread from yours yesterday, so I toasted some of that this morning.
Which one was it?
Just like the sourdough loaves, but I'm looking forward to trying those focaccia loaves today, probably after I play.
What else were you eating when I got up?
Oh yeah, it was raw dog and some tofu.
he was just sat outside our Airbnb just eating a raw block of tofu.
Oh my
just
God.
out of the bag, get that protein in
straight up.
It's impressive.
And if you had to choose a perfect breakfast, what would it be? We'll go back the other way.
4 coffees. Sorry.
That's
16 steamed dumplings.
Yeah, I don't normally eat breakfast, though, so like it's like when I go away or something like that, I'm a bit out of routine, but I like bread, you know, fresh bread,
sure.
Peanut butter, something like that, go for it.
Absolutely. Awesome. Fantastic. What time's your set?
I think it's about 6:30.
6:30?
Yeah, I think bands start about 2 or something like that. I'm going to head over there pretty much straight after this anyway, so awesome. See you there.
Yeah, and there is a door.
It's free for under 18s and then $10 for over.
Awesome. That's so yours as well, to be free for under 18s. Yeah, shout out yours. Awesome. You're a fantastic venue, and we love you very much. And thank you so much for coming, guys.
Thanks, Jack.
You heading home tomorrow?
I am.
I'm going back on Monday. I've got an extra day to explore the city, so it should be cool.
I'm here for like 10 days with my auntie and uncle.
Awesome.
Most of my family's from here, so I'm just going to hang out for a while.
Fantastic. Enjoy. Enjoy your trip home, enjoy your day, enjoy your 10 days, and thank you so much for coming.
That was the Radio 191 Event Podcast! You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast!